We've been in a series. The series is called Shift. That's why those words are up on the board up there. And Shift has been about this, that so many times the world and distractions, they draw our attention. And we begin to think more about them than we think about God. And when that happens, if you notice, we begin to lose sight of the goodness of God. We begin to lose the presence of God. And we can fall into despair. And you can wind up in one of those holes. You remember me talking about how the toilet bowl works? You just go down and down into the gutters, it seems. And so this series has been about the fact that we can live in the presence of God. And we can live in His glory. And so we spent some time talking about how we seek His presence and how we stay focused on Him and how the enemy is trying to get us distracted, but we refuse to be those people. We set our eyes on Christ. We fix our eyes on Him. Now I've got the hardest part of the series to do right now. This is the hardest part. Because I said that we are those who receive first, but we also have to be those people who give away what God gives to us. And that's going to be the hardest part. Because I bet that there are some people in the room that you feel like you're not qualified to do what I'm about ready to ask you to do. But we have to give away what God has given. I don't know if you've noticed, but if you've been here ever since I think about October, it's as though the Holy Spirit will blow in and He will do some incredible things. I mean, just amazing things. I leave after Sunday services and I'm thinking, God, I could counsel that for 6 months. And we wouldn't have got as far as we got in an instant when the power of God touched someone's life. And you hear them say, it's just gone, Kevin. It's just gone from my life. And so the glory of God, the presence of God can do so much so quickly. And I just wonder if there's anybody in the room who received one of those and you're at a place now where you go, I think I lost it. You ever had one of those moments with God? You have one of those mountaintop moments and you're just in amazement of who God is and you feel so close to Him. And all of a sudden you're like, wake up one day and you're like, I think I lost it. You know, where did it go? And some of that is that we allow Satan to tell us that it's gone. And so we begin to believe lies about ourselves and about God. But here's another thing. When God did something in your life amazing, did you give it away? That was not a rhetorical question. All right, I've watched the Holy Spirit blow through here. I've watched Him touch you, God. The question that I need to ask you is, did you give it away? Because that's another part of kingdom principles, is that when you give things away, the king looks at us and he says, you know what? I could trust Him with that. He was faithful with that. And so if He's faithful with that little, then I can give Him more. And so I'm going to give Him more. But if we hold on to something and we're like, man, we got a truth. And I've been touched. And now I just want to do it like this. And I don't even want to open my eyes. I just want to kind of, oh, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Yeah, there's even some songs out there, right, about the Lord coming quickly. Yeah, I'm not saying anything bad about those people. Don't sing those songs. Okay? All right, we don't want Jesus to come quickly. You're like, yes, we do. I'm like, no, we don't. Because if He comes quickly, there are millions of people that are going to die and go to hell. Did you realize that? We don't need Him to come quickly. What we need Him to do is well, actually, you know what? He's done everything. This is the point I'm trying to get at. So many times we think that salvation is the end of the game. It's like, man, we're saved. Okay, that's awesome. You know? And now we just hold on. It's kind of like a roller coaster ride. Just hold on. It'll be over in a minute. You know, either Jesus will come back, Lord, come quickly, or, oh, I don't want to die. Oh, you know, and so we white knuckle it. That's not how we're supposed to live. We're supposed to live with this thing that as God pours things into our lives, then we go and we give them away. And as you give them away, God says, He's faithful with that. I can give them more. And we live as Christians with these hands that are not closed on stuff. We live with hands that are open. And we see somebody and we're like, oh, you know what? They're just like me. Those are the ones you're most qualified for. Did you know that? So if you've dealt with fear in your life, isn't it so easy to see somebody else who has fear? You're like, oh, look, there it is. I know exactly what it looks like. Yeah. Or you see somebody who has depression. You look at them and you go, oh, I know that. I know exactly what that looks like. Insecurity, whatever it may be. And those people, you're uniquely gifted and set to speak into their lives. It amazes me. I have no idea why I go to Celebrate Recovery. I have no idea. Because here's what happens. Someone comes in and I'll talk to them. I've talked to people for hours. And it's like, I'm like, God, that's truth. You know, that's the truth. And then all of a sudden they talk to Kelly or Sam. And because they've walked there, they have this instant connection. It's not like Kevin, who's never had that situation, they're like, dude, you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know my situation. You don't know that I can't get out of this. And then Kelly and Sam, they go, oh, yeah, you can. Yeah, because we've been there. And we know that you can. And this is how you do it. And they're like, oh, really? And you watch them, and they just grab them and take them. And I'm like, yep, go on. That's it. That's my job, apparently. You know, you're uniquely gifted to give away the things that God has put into your life. Ember, we started out with this, and it has not changed. When we started this over a year ago now, it was to do this, to ignite a community with the presence and the power and the purposes of God. Do you remember that? That we would ignite a community with the presence and the power and the purposes of God. It'd be cool if I just said, we were sent here to ignite you with the presence and the power and the purposes of God. But the reality is that we can ignite you. But if you're not part of the assignment of igniting others, somehow or another, your flame will get low. And you'll feel like you've almost lost all that you have. So just real quickly, whatever God has done in your life, I beg you on behalf of God, would you please go give it away to somebody? Would you please go give it away? Somebody needs what God has done in your life. Now let me read some stuff to you just so you know I didn't make that up. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. This is an assignment. You're here today to receive an assignment, okay? Reading over some scriptures. And this is scripture that I can almost quote because these passages are so real and familiar to me. And so essentially, this is what Paul says. He says that we have been reconciled to God. That means we've been made right. We have been made right with God through Jesus Christ. And that then God has made us as ambassadors. What is an ambassador? It's one that goes on behalf of another, right? They represent, our ambassadors represent the United States when they go to France or when they go all over the world. They represent the nation. We are ambassadors of Christ. We represent Christ to the world. And then look at verse 20. Man, these words have been on my heart. That word's been there all along. You ever read scripture and you've seen stuff before and all of a sudden it's like the light just comes on. The angels start singing. The light shines. Verse 20, therefore we are ambassadors for Christ as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Beg has been in there all the time. I just never saw it like I'm seeing it now. I beg you. Some translations say, I beseech you. I pray. Some of you are talking these ways. I need you to get this. That's the mindset. I'm begging you. You got to get this, that you have been reconciled to God through Jesus Christ, that He made Him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God. You ever begged anybody to be made right with God? You ever begged anybody? I beg you to be right with God. I am so convinced of this personally, and I am so caught up in my love for you and love for God that I beg you to get right with God. You ever begged anybody to get right with God? And then I'm taken to Luke, where there is a dinner being given. It's Luke chapter 14. A man is giving a dinner and he sends out these invitations and everybody says they're coming. And in those days you would send out a request and you would go and prepare the amount of food that you needed to feed the people that said they were coming. Then you would send the servants back out and say, it's ready, come eat. And so the food was ready. He said, go get them, it's time. And they went and everybody had an excuse for why they couldn't come. And so the servants, they come back to the man who throws the dinner and they say, they don't want to come. Now this is a prophetic scripture about the house of Israel and how Israel would reject Christ. Because what happens is the man throwing the dinner says, well then go out. Listen to what he says in verse 21. Go out and into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in the poor and the crippled and the blind and the lame. Prophetically he's talking about the Gentiles, you and I. But I think it also is in... It still applies for today. Go out into the streets, Ember. Go out into the lanes, Ember, of the city, Ember, and bring in here the poor and the crippled and the lame, the blind. And the slave said, Master, what you have commanded has been done, and there is still room. And the master said to the slave, Go out then into the highways and among the hedges and compel them to come in so that my house may be filled. You hear that? Compel them. There it is again. Beg them. Do whatever you can, but you got to get them to the Lord. I'm like, wow, that's not how we set up our churches these days. You ever thought about that? I'm not trying to be critical of churches because we are one, all right? But that's not how we do it. We typically think of, we'll establish a place, a building. We'll put a sign up. We'll list our services. We might invite a person every now and again, but we don't beg them. And we'll just see who comes. I've heard some people say, look, we got a church. We got a service time. People know where we are. If they got problems, they can come in here anytime they want. I'm like, yay, that's great. You should probably sit around and count how many line up for that one, you know? Because your heart's not right, you know? Your heart is not right. It's not the heart of someone that says, I beg you, you have got to have Christ in your life. Your life is an absolute chaos and crisis because you do not have Christ. And I want you to be reconciled with Him. But as churches, we've not really done that. And so the assignment for us is the one that we had from the very beginning, where we felt like God called us into the community to reach those, to go into the streets and the lanes and to bring in the poor and the crippled and the blind and whoever would come. And he said, but I'm not qualified. You don't have to raise your hand. Does anybody in the room not feel qualified for that assignment? So I started looking in Scripture about qualifications. Here's what I found. Jesus does a handful of miracles. He's called his 12 disciples together. He does a handful of miracles. And then he says, all right, now you go out and you preach the kingdom of God and you heal the sick and you cast out demons and you heal lepers and you tell them about me. And you look at that and you're like, I wonder how long that assignment was. Not very long. So if you're looking for this thing where we're going to take you and put you through some kind of course and you're going to go through this thing and we're going to sit you down in a classroom, I'm so over that. I am so over that, because I think what happens is we make people that are so smart that by the time you get done and you say, all right, let's go do it. Everybody's like, what? What do you mean go do it? Nah. What do you mean go do it? That's straight. No, we know that it can be done. We see how to do it in the Scripture. All right, let's go do it. Oh, no, we don't want to go do it. Yeah, no, let's just talk about it, right? Let's talk about it. Let's sing about it. Let's pray about it, right? Let's talk about it, sing about it, pray about it. Let's go do it. Oh, no, let's sing another stanza. Yeah, come on, one more verse. We're not ready. We're not ready for this. I don't know when we're going to get ready. Yeah, what am I saying? There is not a lot of qualifying time in Scripture. I look at a couple of people in Scripture. I look at Paul and I look at Peter. I hope you're familiar with both of them. Paul is a man who was well educated in the Scriptures, the old, what we call the Old Testament. He was perfect. When Jesus left, if you've got two assignments and you've got one man you're going to send to the Jews and you got one man that you're going to send to the Gentiles, if we took a business mindset, we would say Paul is absolutely perfect for the Jews. He's smart. He knows Scripture. He can argue with the religious leaders. He can debate them on the finer points of Scripture. He's just absolutely perfect for it. And you go, all right, now who are we going to send to the Gentiles? Like, oh, they're a bunch of heathens. Let's send Peter. You know, he's kind of impetuous. He's a go-getter. He's self-motivated. He's a hard man. We can send him to the Gentiles because, you know, we don't know if they're going to really do anything or not anyway. So let's just send Peter there. What does God do? He does that. He says, Paul, you're not fit for the Jews. We would be, if that was a board meeting and God was the CEO, we would want to fire God at that moment. We're like, God, you are out of your mind. You know, Paul is the one that's qualified to go here. Paul's the one that knows all the Scripture. And I think somewhere in the heart of God, he says, yeah, but if Paul goes over there, he'll think he did it. And people will think that he did it. And it's not about him getting credit. It's about God getting the glory. And so what we're going to do is we're going to shake this thing up. We're going to send Paul to the Gentiles where they could care less what he knows. And we're going to send Peter. We're going to let him stay at home where everybody cares what you know. And we're going to shake this thing up. It doesn't matter if you think you're qualified. It matters what's in your heart. It matters if you hear God call in your heart. Now, let me get very specific, okay? So there's an individual call, and before I mess this up, I need to give you that, all right? You are called into your family. You hear me? You are called into your family. You are called into the business, wherever God puts you right now. Grow where you're planted. Wherever your business is, wherever you go to work, Monday through Friday, you are called there. You are a missionary, sent, an ambassador. God is saying, go there and beg them to be made right with God. If it's the schools, if it's, like I said, business, wherever it may be, go into those places. You are called there, and God will equip you there. He'll give you everything you need. All you have to do is be willing. And say, well, I've tried that a little bit. I think the heart of a beggar is that they don't stop. You ever thought about the heart of a beggar? The heart of a beggar doesn't stop. He just keeps pleading, just keeps begging, just keeps pouring in. And I think about God, and I am so grateful for God that He never gave up on Kevin Taylor. I am so grateful that He never gave up on Kevin Taylor. But He just kept pressing in, just kept calling me. I don't know if you felt that or not. If you haven't felt it, it's still true. God has been putting people in circumstances and situations in your life because He's begging you to be made right with God, even if you don't see it. So you're called there. But then Ember is called to this thing collectively, and it is to the community of East Chester. Raise your hand if you know where East Chester is. If you have no idea where East Chester is, it's right out this back door. That's actually how close it is. It literally is on the other side of the trees. I did not even know that, y'all, until this past week. I had to look at a map of Chester, and I was doing something. I've been involved in East Chester for quite a while. Our church has as well, if you're not familiar with that. And so I needed to know how many houses were in the area of East Chester. And so I pulled up an online map. And as I looked, I saw this place. I'm like, that's a really big place. I wonder what that is. And so I started zooming in. I was on my iPad, and I started zooming in. And all of a sudden, I was like, do you know what it was? It was us. The place that I didn't know what it was that I was looking at, it's us. They are literally over the other side of the trees to us. Now, when our heart became attached to East Chester, we were not here. We were away somewhere. When we came here, we didn't know we were doing it, so we would be right in the back door. That's why when I look at how God does things, I'm like, God, you're so smart. God, you're so smart. I know the Bible says it is the wisdom of God. I understand that. But in Kevin's language, I just look at it and go, God, you're so smart. You just know everything. And you put us right here. And so our heart has been called to this community. But I got to tell you, I love what God is doing. Because I have always felt like God wanted to bring a church together that would be black and white, rich and poor, and everything in between. And people say, you can't do it, Kevin. You can't do it because those folks won't get along. But I believe that when the Holy Spirit is there, that we can get along. We are. Look around. We are black and we are white and we are rich and we are poor and we are young and we are old. And I love it that way because I believe God smiles on it. But I looked at that community and I said, Lord, they're almost all black, and we're still a lot. We lean heavy on the white side, Lord. Let's just be honest, right? We need everybody. All right, we need all of you, rich, poor, black, white. We need all of you. But I would look at that community and I would go, oh, Lord, we're almost all white. They're almost all black. We're not qualified, God. You hear me? You see how God has to preach to me sometimes before I can preach to you? We're just not qualified, God. And in fact, I would look at people. I've got black pastors, and I would look at them, and I'm like, I wonder if they have a black person that we could send as a missionary, and we would pay them. I'm like, you know, the church has done that. We'll send people all over the world, and we pay for them to go there. I'm like, we could pay for someone to go in and minister there. Honestly, that seemed like a good idea about 2 weeks ago, y'all. I mean, it really did. It seemed like a great idea. I mean, I was that close, you know? And I'm like, that's all we got to do. But I couldn't seem to find anybody that wanted to go. And so I'm like, okay, I can't find anybody. Well, then someone gave me a book. And as I read this book, it's about a pastor who started a church in Los Angeles called the Dream Center. And he was a white guy. And he went into L.A. where everybody was Hispanic or African-American or whatever it may be. But it worked. Because the pastor in the church just loved people. And they didn't care what you looked like or how much money you had. They just went in there and they just loved people. And it was like the Lord was telling me, see, it can be done. It doesn't matter. You just have to be willing. And so I'm like, And then I thought, well, maybe the timing is not right. Maybe that God's going to raise up somebody down the road. And we had this great service Sunday night at and all the different churches came together and we were singing and the message was inspired. And it was about how the church is at this place where God is calling us into community. And the wind of God's Holy Spirit is behind us. And when I left out of there, I was thinking, and I looked at Brantley and she said something very similar. Well, who's going? We sang about it. We prayed about it. We talked about it. Now who's going? And I believe that God is going to send some people. And I wish I could remember how this thing goes. But you remember the thing that it says, everybody thought somebody was going to do something? You remember that? Everybody thought somebody was going to do something. But nobody went because everybody thought somebody would. You remember that? Just nod your head. I don't think we can wait on somebody else to go. Because I don't know what their heart is. And I don't know when. And so I believe what God is telling Kevin is, Kevin, you guys, if you're willing, then go. Then you guys go. And so then you know how sometimes when you're reading, for those of you who sometimes you read and you think that nothing's sticking, well, what God is doing is the Word is like seed and He's sowing it into your life. And at times He'll pull up just the right thing at the right time. And this scripture came back to me, Isaiah 6:8. And then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? This is God. Whom shall I send and who will go for us? And then I said, here I am, send me. You hear that? God puts out a call. And He says, who will go for me? Who will do what I need done? Who will be an ambassador for me? And Isaiah hears the call and he says, here I am, send me. So here we are. For some of you who have, God, you bless me, because you just hang out with me for all the craziness, you know? For all of the crazy stuff, and for those of you who are here now, I'm glad you're crazy too. A few years ago, I had this same feeling about something that I was supposed to start a group of people. All this is going to come around, I promise, okay? I had this idea probably 4 or 5 years ago that I wanted to gather up a group of people, and I saw in Scripture that Paul could disciple people in a really fast way, and then he could leave. And then that church would be sound. He would have a church there. And they would be mature and they could carry on the work. And I'm like, that's amazing. He did that in a hurry. And I'm like, maybe we can't do it in a hurry because we're just not focused on what we're doing. And so I started praying, God, what would it take to mature somebody in a year and then send them out? And it was as though the Lord said, tell them. And so here's what I did. I got up one Sunday morning. We were all at Chester Freedom. And I said, I'm looking for a group of people who are willing to work for 1 year to be self-feeding and life-giving. Self-feeding means, here's what I told them. I said, if something happened and somebody randomly killed every pastor in Chester, you would actually be okay. Would you be okay? If I was gone, and T.D. Jakes was gone, all right, and Joel Osteen was gone, all right, Stephen Furtick was gone, the pastor down the street was gone, we were all gone. I don't know how it happened, but we all got wiped out. Would you be good? Yeah, that's right. That's what everybody's supposed to say. Yeah, I'd be good. I'm self-feeding and I'm life-giving. I know how to sit at the foot of the cross. I know how to receive from God. I'm going to be just fine. That's what every pastor is supposed to want. That's what I want for you, okay? And so I told him, you're going to be self-feeding. You're going to be life-giving. It means you got to give it away because if you don't give it away, it won't work. We went through a year and man, people grew. It became literally the people who founded this thing called Ember. And all along, I've been thinking, man, I want to do another one of those. It was so cool. Brandon and I would say, yeah, we're going to do it. But the timing just wasn't right. The timing wasn't right. And I believe that God is calling me back to that very same thing. And this is for a whosoever will. So you can take a remedial course or whatever you call it, course number 2. But I'm looking for some people that'll spend a year with me. Last time we did it in a classroom. This time we're going to do it in East Chester. And we're going to do it in the context of people who are hurting. And so when we talk about reconciliation, I'm going to feed you on how to be reconciled with God, how to be reconciled with people in your family, in your business, whatever it may be, how to be reconciled. But then I'm going to ask you to walk through that community with me and help other people be reconciled to God. We'll teach you how to do your testimony just like we did that first group. But I'm going to ask you to share that story with people in that community. We're going to go through discipleship, but we're going to do it in that community. Some of you who have been in the military, you know that when there's a campaign that a land, an area is taken, but now we see how we live in these urban areas and how troops, they go street by street, door to door, to make sure that everything is clear and everything is taken. That's the assignment. We're going to go street to street, door to door, wherever people will listen. And we're going to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. We will heal the sick. We will cast out demons. We will cleanse the lepers. We will put porches on houses, whatever it has to be. We will play soccer with kids and baseball and basketball. We will do whatever it takes because the king has been enthroned on our hearts. And now the king must be enthroned upon the land. He has to be enthroned upon the land. So here we are. In that book I was telling you about, there was a story, and there was a story of a homeless man. And he went to a food shelter, and he had a meal. And when he walked out, there was this trash can or a bin out by the shelter. And he said, "What will you give to the king?" And so the homeless man is there, and he's been in, and he's had a meal. And he's thinking, what will I give the king? Something begins to kind of stir in him. And so he's like, reaches in, digs down. Like, I know there's something in here somewhere. He's like, oh, he had a quarter. He said, "I'm going to give a quarter." So he gives a quarter. He starts to walk off. Further he gets, the more that thing starts resonating in his mind. What will I give to the king? What will I give to the king? And he's trying to walk away, but he can't because it's still stuck in his mind. And he's going, "I got to go back to the sign." And so he goes back. What will I give the king? Reaches in his pocket. He's got a little bit more change. He's like, "Okay, that's it. That's all I got." He puts that in there. He emptied his pockets. That's it. And he walks away. What will you give the king? What will you give the king? It keeps resonating in his mind. What will you give the king? What will you give the king? Can't get away from it. The farther he walks, can't get away from it. He's like, "I got to go back." So he goes back. He's looking at the sign. What will you give the king? He's mesmerized by it. He's like, He's like, "Oh, I got nothing. What do I give to the king? I got nothing." He looks at the sign and he goes, "That's all I got. Doesn't matter how far I get, folks. This is all I ever got. It doesn't matter how much money I got in my pocket. It doesn't matter whatever is going on in my life. He keeps bringing me right back here. It doesn't matter how far I go. I keep coming right back here." Which is, what will you give to the king? I got to give him me. It's all I got. And so I'm asking you, what will you give to the king? I'm asking you, are you willing to be an ambassador? Are you willing to go with me and beg people to be reconciled to God? And some of you may say, I can't go. And here's the amazing thing, I think, is that the reason things have been kept simple here at Ember, we don't do a lot of stuff that other people might think that we should do. We've kept it simple, and I believe we've kept it simple because God wanted us to be able to be flexible and minister. And so if you're thinking, I just can't go, and the reality is maybe that you can, I don't know, but I would tell you this. God, I believe, will give us opportunities to bring people back here, and as a greeter or as a cafe person or as somebody in the nursery, then our assignment is this. If any of them come back, will you love them? Will you love them? Will you serve them? Will you wash feet? You know, will you take care of their babies so that they can hear the message of the gospel? I want to preach to some lost people, y'all. I want to preach to some lost people. I got a feeling that the only way the church is going to get to go and preach to the lost people is if we go and we beg them and we go door to door. And then sometimes we'll bring some back. But there'll be something for all of us to do if you're willing. But right now, I'm looking for those people who will go door to door. And I think it simply is this. I don't even need to know your qualifications. I don't need to know how long you've been saved. I don't need to know how many verses of Scripture. All I need to know is, what will you give the king? And if you'll come step in this bucket with me, and you literally can if you want to. I'm going to put it down here. You literally come step in it if you want to. I just need to know what we got to work with, and then we're going to go. All right? Who will go with us? So, Father, here we are. Send us. We will go for you. And I know that you will give us everything that we need. You will provide everything. You'll provide the right timing. You will provide the provision. We just had to make ourselves available. God, we're available. And we are grateful. We look forward to the journey, God. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, everybody.
If you are listening to this sermon series and would like to have someone pray for you, or you'd like to ask some questions, or you just need someone to talk to, please feel free to give us a call at 803-581-2070. Thank you.